King Robert was well-loved, and most men still accept that Tommen is his son. The more they see of Lord Stannis, the less they love him, and fewer still are fond of Lady Melisandre with her fires and this grim red god of hers. They complain.
They complained about Lord Commander Mormont, too. Men love to complain about their wives and lords, he told me once. Those without wives complain twice as much about their lords.
Hello and welcome to Two Champs and a Chump, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by Will Lentz, myself, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Major props go out to FFG for putting out a great game, George R. R. Martin for an amazing product, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward to the Creative Commons license music you hear today. Welcome to Season 3.
So
they don't have a wife or a lord.
I don't know.
Then what do they complain about?
What if you have a wife and no lord? Do you just complain about your wife, Brett?
I mean, maybe.
You're the only one of us with experience on that front.
That's true.
Brett has a lord. His name is Earl Darryl. Or Darryl the Earl? I don't know.
Are you sure? I think he actually rather has a lady than a lord. I believe her name is Kylie.
That's actually accurate. Yeah. So I guess I do have both.
Nice.
So, introductions?
The Two Champs, One Chump.
I'm Darryl.
My name is Brett Zeiler.
I'm Will Lentz.
I introduced myself while Brett was talking.
I know. You always do. I could wait. There could be 5 minutes of silence, and I would start to say something. That's exactly when you would start talking.
That's what I do.
I know.
Welcome to another fine episode. The finest.
We don't know if it's going to be fine. It hasn't happened yet.
Welcome to another mediocre episode of Two Chumps and a Champ.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's actually really accurate.
Yeah, for all the listeners out there, I tried to pull in some guest champs for this episode. Unfortunately, everyone bailed on me.
I would never bail on you, Will.
Thank you. You are here. You are our one stalwart champ.
I like that title.
Yep. We should look into changing the name, I think.
I mean, at least it's a relatively small change for me to edit the graphic so that it says Two Chumps and a Champ.
And it's still 2C, 1C?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, most listeners will never notice the difference.
Nope, I wouldn't.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, well, you're not change the name of the podcast to like Will's Party Athon 1968, and I would never notice.
1968 in the ass.
Well, that's just uncouth.
I mean, that's what it would be, though.
Well, Darryl is rarely couth, so.
I don't know what that word means, but I am rarely whatever it is.
You know, I don't think anyone else actually knows either.
No.
Some folks, have a vague idea what uncouth is, but I dare you to find me someone who can tell me the definition of couth.
Yeah.
Without cheating and Googling that shit.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I picked up reading recently.
You mentioned that.
For real? Did I mention that on the last episode? Or was
one of the last couple ones.
Okay, so I'm reading the Mistborn series for real.
That's a nice series.
I'm like 120 pages in, which is insane for me.
Just into the first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's good. But, like, what I'm getting at, though, is, like, Will uses words all the time that I've just never fucking heard of. And I was pretty good at English in high school and through grade school and stuff because, I don't know, I speak the language, okay? And but what I'm realizing is that you learn so many words by reading, and Will reads quite a bit. In other words, we should start a Reading Rainbow podcast.
Reading Rainbow.
I can go anywhere. Read a book, motherfucker.
Wow, Reading Rainbow, now hosted by Samuel L. Jackson. I love it.
Oh my god,
I would watch that.
got some erratas to talk about?
I think we do. Some flash erratas.
Flash erratas. It's like a, they can like be a played like instances.
But... yeah, exactly. Erratas to the flash keyword. This is a magic podcast now.
Yep.
I don't
want to. That sounds awesome. Actually, I do kind of want to talk about magic, but I'll save that for props and slops.
God, I hope so.
Why? I mean, yeah, whatever. I won't even start.
So let's Will, what's this errata?
This flash errata. Well, I don't actually have it opened up in front of me. I know, listeners, try not to be shocked. Normally, I am the one prepared for this show. But I didn't open it up in front of me because it is awfully simple. The Hellholt Engineer has now been errated to a limit of 3 times per round.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm not terribly shocked.
Me neither. No, not shocked, but I don't know. I didn't see like an insane combo that was going to happen.
As the Balerion win before marshalling combo.
Oh, I heard about that, but I didn't know it could actually work.
Yeah, like, yeah, evidently. And evidently it had been talked about some months ago in a Quill and Tankard Regulars article, among other places like Agot Cards. But that's what I get for not reading Quill and Tankard, I suppose, as religiously as I should.
Yeah,
I want to be a competitive player.
I mean, I haven't read it most weeks. I guess they're not every week, but I've read most of their issues.
I think they're on an every other week release.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. It's good. I mean, I think we've seen over the history of the game, open-ended stand like that just always winds up being a problem, whether it's Robert Baratheon or...
Hey, who would abuse that?
Yeah, I don't know who would.
Some dick.
Yeah, some dick indeed.
Yeah, well, stand's like one of the most powerful effects in the game. Like, you just can't have it to where you can stand all the time. I think so far, like, every card that has had the ability to just stand has now been fixed in some way.
Yeah, for the most part. I can't think of any off the top of my head that have some kind of, like, unlimited stand like that.
Yeah, I mean, especially on a character, as soon as you give them that ability, there's going to be somebody who's, like, going to go through all the trouble of, I don't know, making one a dire wolf.
Yeah.
And just getting an infinite combo, like, some... Greek player who will remain nameless, mainly because I can't remember your name, but it was awesome.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, or let's see, are we thinking of the same situation, or are we thinking of different ones?
I'm thinking of Dirty
melee
Girl.
Instant win?
Yes, yeah, Dirty Girl.
With the clansman guy that claimed power?
Nope, we're thinking of a different one.
Okay, we're thinking of two different ones. The one I'm thinking of, I think, was actually an Italian player, if I remember. It's been... many moons now.
Wait, what did he do with a clansman?
It was the Son of the Mist guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That claims of power when you play the last card from your hand, and it has to do with like the Hound or something, like the Prince of the Sun Hound.
Oh, after a character is strength is lowered, return him to hand.
And like Lyanna Stark and Killer of the Wounded.
Yeah.
And turn him into like a Night's Watch with Satin. It was like a 1,000-card combo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but evidently the guy won like multiple melee tables with it.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Now the one I'm thinking of, the guy would turn. What did he do? He did something with like direwolves, and then he also did something with like turning like Killer the Wounded or something into a Night's Watch. I want to say. I don't remember. He was just able to like search through his deck and basically pick the cards that were. That he wanted, and or like discard the rest. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I forget.
With, like, Satin, I assume.
Yeah, but he was also like doing direwolf shenanigans too, to like just lower everyone's strength infinitely, so they couldn't win challenges against him. It's crazy. It's called Dirty Girl. It's on the Card Game DB threads. It has like the coolest name ever. So that's the only reason I remember.
I don't know about ever. It's no cocaine machine.
My only regret is that deck wasn't better.
Yeah. Because
Cocaine Machine isn't awesome. I would love people to talk about, like, oh man, that's like the second coming of Cocaine Machine.
Well,
dude, I won the regional
with Cocaine
Machine. What we
probably need to do is work on a Cocaine Machine 2.0 at some point. You need to work on it, like, in secret, hone it to a
and then just unleash the Kraken.
Yeah, exactly. And then you just go put, in fact, I bet that's your plan. You've been secretly working on Cocaine Machine 2.0, and you're just, like, throwing everybody off the track, telling them you're not going to play at Gen Con, when really you're going to show up at Joust,
I mean,
win the whole thing, and everyone's going to be like, Daryl, that was amazing. What were you playing? You're going to be like, Cocaine Machine.
Boom.
And then he drops his mic.
Yeah.
I would love for FFG
or his deck in this case. Cards just go flying.
Yeah.
I hope they would let me put that in a tournament report too, like on the FFG like site. Just like, yeah, I have this great deck called Cocaine Machine. I would adore that.
Yeah.
I've been working on a couple decks. We'll see. So far I don't think I'm going to, but the new FAQ has really given me renewed interest, I would say. I don't know.
What?
Greyjoy's looking good. I don't know.
What?
Greyjoy's looking good.
I think that's a reasonable segue into our next topic here then, right? Because let's see, which one of you gents was actually the first one to post on Facebook today about...
I was both of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't.
I realized that like we had a post in like 2 weeks, so I stepped up to the plate, got some traffic going.
Finally.
Well played. And so you asked, you know, about topics, and what seemed to be the like overwhelming response of what we should dedicate this episode to?
Hookers.
Yes.
And blow.
But aside from hookers, the second most popular request was for Gen Con. Just things.
Things for Gen Con. Survivor's Guide to Gen Con? Was that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think, okay. I mean, we could actually, we didn't mention
we could
that
talk about this.
Exactly in our pre-show notes. But I think we could pretty reasonably do a Survivor's Guide as well as our Gen Con predictions, which is what I was trying to segue.
Oh, okay.
You know, you post FAQ and all that sort of thing.
I mean, that's what I expected us to talk about.
Yeah. Sure. So how about we segue into that and then the Gen Con Survivor's Guide?
Okay.
We can do that.
Okay. So what do we got here? I mean, the big change has got to be TLV, but negotiations resets the meta a lot. I mean, between the restriction and the errata, the meta is in a lot of ways like it was now in, what, April?
I mean, it would have been probably more like February, March.
February was right when the FAQ came out, so
mm-hmm.
I was trying to think right at the beginning of regionals before, you know, those cards made a splash.
And that's March then.
Okay, fair enough. So, I mean, looking at the regional sets that we had before, House of Dreams was pretty big, and in turnout and such, and Knights of the Hollow Hill was probably the kind of dominant force in agendas.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see people headed back that direction again?
More than likely. I mean, House of Dreams is definitely pretty good. I think there's going to be a good amount of, like, no agenda or character agenda decks. I've seen a lot more of them than I have in recent times. And I've been playing a Quinton deck myself recently. So.
And I've been hearing a lot of good things lately about the Lannister no agenda deck as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have much to add to that. I have not noticed that. I mean, I've noticed more people talking about Quinton, but I don't know if that's going to be a top deck in Joust.
It's pretty fierce.
It can be pretty solid. I mean, I think the biggest agenda, I mean, certainly the biggest winner of TLV being soft banned has got to be Knights of Hollow Hill or Maesters.
Mm-hmm. The heavy control agendas.
Yeah, and I'm leaning towards Knights of Hollow Hill. I think post the last round of big updates and nerfs to Maester stuff, I think everyone pretty well decided that Knights of Hollow Hill was the top agenda, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was still one of the, I mean, even with TLV in the format, it was still one of the top agendas in the regional season.
Well, yeah, if you can really count anything other than TLV, but that's a different matter for the, mm-hmm. the stats to argue about.
Yeah, no, I mean, Knights of Hollow Hill is still going to be pretty popular and very, very strong. Out of Targaryen and Martell more than anything else.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to see a push back to Targaryen Burn out of Knights of the Hollow Hill for sure. Now that now that we've officially had Street Wave, Long Lances split up for sure, I think that definitely pushes those Hollow Hill decks back the burn direction and like to choosing Hatchling's Feast rather than, you know, the recursion engines. So yeah.
I could see that. Restricting the Street Wave, a necessary evil. But
I'm not sure if it was a necessary evil.
You don't know? Okay. Well, maybe not.
It is perhaps at least an evil in Brett's book.
Well, I'll give it evil.
I mean, it does take away a huge card advantage tool on their end. So maybe that gives them a push back toward Maesters of the rusted or non-rusted variety.
I don't know. I think that Targaryen Knights of the Hollow Hill is still going to be pretty strong and pretty popular. I just feel like something, you know, people may start bringing out some stuff like Magi Crone. I mean, I saw it's been seeing some play in the last, you know, 5 or 6 months anyway.
Yeah.
But now they don't have their Street Wave card advantage. They need to get it some other way.
Well, Ben Terpstra's been rocking, you know, Targaryen Knights of the Hollow Hill for a long time, and I don't think he ever count that up. Yeah,
yeah, and he was already playing Hatchling's Feast, so you know the changes made were nothing but win for him, really.
Mm-hmm.
With negotiations and TOV knocked.
Yeah,
and so I would say for the majority of the players, I don't think that that's going to be a deck that a lot of players can take to the top eight. But as long as that, you know, as long as Ben Terpstra is still around, that deck in my mind is always going to be a top deck. But I couldn't pilot it as well as him. I mean, it's something that only really good players can do, I think. There's just so many pieces, and it's so, so slow, and you've got to take so many hits before you really start rolling.
Yeah, I mean, that's nice Arenas for Hollow Hill in general.
Yeah, no matter what house has been played out of.
Take those early hits. And I think it's again, it's just so much easier to do that. I think we're going to see a pretty dramatic shift back to control.
Aggro was fun for those 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aggro and, hey, potentially some rush. And I still think some rush is okay. I still think the Lannister Power Behind the Throne rush builds, which come in a couple different flavors, are pretty good, but not super great.
Yeah.
Was talking with Dark Naj about that the other day, and I think I agree pretty well with his assessment that they very well might make the cut, but they sure aren't going to win at all. They're going to hammer a lot of stuff fast enough to rack up some wins, but when they go up against one of those Targ Knights, the Hollow Hill decks, they're probably going to fold.
Yeah.
I really liked the swing toward aggro. But, oh well.
What do we think about stuff like Baratheon Black Sails, like, say, Greg played at our regional? Does it still stand in a pretty good spot? It was, in some ways, kind of a counter TLV. Or does the probable return to control just hamper Black Sails too much?
I mean, Baratheon Black Sails is... I mean, I'm sure Black Sails will be a fairly popular deck out of Baratheon and Greyjoy. More than any other house, really. If just for the fact that Baratheon Black Sails can pretty reliably get Val Laughing Storm on the first turn very easily just by, you know, aggressively mulliganing for one or the other and then fishing the other one out of the hold first turn.
Yep. And as long as that's still like a viable option, having Val and Laughing Storm just the most broken draw combo in the game, I mean, yeah, that deck is going to absolutely rule. I like Black Sails as a whole. Being able to search your hold for whatever cards are in there and get it. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know, there's still a lot of power there, and they've got some options to combat, you know, say, Lanny Neal if they'd run up against it. I still think Burn could be an issue for them. There's still not a whole lot of ways for Baratheon to protect against that.
No.
You lose Val very easily. And Laughing Storm is not far behind against your average burn deck.
He is not.
Yeah, so they're going to be riding, I think, on the backs of the fleets, really, to get that naval stuff going against the burn decks, and which leaves them open in other ways against Martell. They really don't have a good answer to icon manipulation.
Icon control or Neil.
Neil, I mean, they'll have some of the stand effects.
I mean, they might have a couple, but a dedicated Neil deck can lock down a couple characters even through a stand effect here and there.
Yeah, potentially. I don't know. I mean, it depends on the stand effect. We do, even have a new one here, and I believe it was Fury. And the reusable stand effects like that, and Robert's Hammer and Mario Seaworth make things a lot trickier for the Neil player. But I don't know if Neil is really going to be seeing a big comeback, because it doesn't always have an easy time against Knights of the Hollow Hill.
It does not. Their control gets out-controlled.
Indeed. And, even just the subtle things can make a big difference. That initiative boost on the Hollow Hill player.
Making Lanny go first.
Yeah, exactly. Is just something that you don't think about it too much in the abstract, but that really does make a difference in those games.
Yeah.
Yep.
Greyjoy Maesters, of course, still hit by all of the restrictions that we saw previously, but I think not unplayable, and massive amounts of cancel and saves.
Greyjoy's going to be strong this year.
Yeah, Greyjoy's going to be titties, for sure. Titties and cornbread.
Titties and cornbread.
Yeah, though they potentially, if they're going the Maester route, they lose their big finisher with Asha. And they lost the Conclaves already, which I think is probably going to make that a pretty slow build. It may be a fairly chain light build that doesn't want to get screwed at the end out of what they're trying to do.
I mean, Osh is a great card. The Conclave's been restrictive now for a while. I mean, that deck as a whole just controlled the shit out of you and just beat your face in with those big ass boat swains, mm-hmm. I mean, what an efficient card. And, the deck itself is just really efficient, and those cancels, they just add up. And, some of those decks ran a little winter tech, and you throw the Marauders in there, and then that's just money. Ugh, love it. So, yeah, that deck's going to be really good.
Yeah.
And I think Greyjoy Winter could also be fairly popular, maybe not really playing the winter agenda, but just playing, White Ravens, Wintertime Marauders, Sam for Draw.
Yeah.
And then just Greyjoy. Well, maybe even no agenda. Maybe Aeron,
and you get some saves rolling. And
yeah, maybe, Marauder's still one of the craziest cards in the game.
They're really good. I hope they never get restricted
forever.
They're awesome. Don't play non-unique cards, bitch. You got a problem with it? Play unique cards.
Yeah.
So what else have we got on the Martell front? The Knights of the Hollow Hill stuff, probably popular. We've been seeing Joe again, going back to the old Prince's Plans, just super control recycling sort of deck. Mm-hmm. I could see that really shutting stuff down.
That deck's got some promise.
Yeah, Adam Martell's really Knights of the Hollow Hill and Clinton are the two go-to decks for Martell. Really,
you think there'll be anybody out there given Brotherhood one last epic hurrah before they get screwed?
I'm sure there'll be someone. They won't do very well.
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
Yeah. Brotherhood stopped being viable 2 years ago.
And when you grit drops, and anytime there's any way for someone to steal your Beric Dondarrion,
Well, yeah, that's why I was saying one last push now before that happens. Because, let's be honest here. It's not like anybody is going to be running Men with No King since Greg isn't going to make it to Gen Con this year.
Yeah.
Thank the gods? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, small victories here. Small victories.
Small victories for the Brotherhood.
Which potentially also opens up those sweet TLV neutral faction builds. And by sweet, I am being a little sarcastic, despite writing about that for Card Game DB last week.
That's an interesting thought. Do you think that somebody's going to come to Gen Con with a neutral TLV deck?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely think it's likely something comes. I don't think they'll do great.
How far do you think that's going to get? I mean, are they not going to do great? I mean, I think it might depend who's going to run it.
I'm going to give it a 3-3 record. They're going to be batting 500 at best.
Yeah. I don't know. I could see. I just have a feeling like if Greg went to Gen Con with a neutral deck with TLV, it probably would run Men with No King and a bunch of other horseshit.
I would love to see that happen.
I tried
on the phone a couple days ago to talk him into coming again, just kind of at the last minute. But he's like, dude, it's just not going to fly. He's already used up his vacation. He'd have to be taking unpaid days, so he's, you know, docking that future paycheck. Plus, his basement flooded, which I didn't realize. I guess he's posted that on Facebook. Yeah, so he's got, you know, a couple $1,000s worth of damage to deal with down there. Yeah, it was just not a good time for him to make it.
Yeah, which is sad, but I just have a feeling like you gave that deck to the right player, and they could absolutely roll with it, but. It would be fun. But yeah, that person's probably going to be rolling through the bottom of the bracket. That person's probably me.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to just kind of run through my head here the list of any other suspects that are interesting.
We haven't talked about Starfight at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got two things off the top of my head I'm thinking of. We got Stark with Siege, of course. And then the other one being Baratheon Knights of the Realm, which we saw do very well in Europe right, you know, prior to the regional season kicking off.
I mean, as far as Stark goes, I think maybe even Stark Knights could be a thing again.
You know, that's possible. Know, that did quite well for Mr. Brett Zeiler.
Yeah.
You're
restricted, no quarter. You just... fucking kill everything.
You know, I'd probably still be tempted to roll with Mira Reed.
Mira, yeah, Mira's a real bitch.
And here I was thinking that if I was willing, I'd probably still stick with Bear Island.
Really?
Wow.
Interesting. I love Bear Island. Across the board.
Yeah, Bear Island rules.
I mean, there's not a bad choice. All three of the choices are viable and good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, I don't want to get too much into the, you know, the card choices there, but I would say I expect Mira to be more applicable in, you know, broader range of situations.
Yeah, she can be.
I'm just not mean. Stark has Stark Siege, and they have a couple House of Dreams builds.
Yeah.
But aside from that, Stark hasn't been doing much recently. They got some strong cards in the last cycle, but they may have honestly been worse off when I was thinking back about, you know, good cards for them in the last cycle.
Well, with Winter now being restricted, I think that's really going to put a thorn in their side, because that deck was pretty rad. Obviously, the guy who won last year was using it. So, you know, because you get that agenda rolling, and then you got Mira, too. That's a pretty great combination. You have a legitimate reason to run Winter Tech in your deck, and Mira just gets better with it. But I see Stark doing like they've always done, I feel. You know, a good player is going to bring a good Stark deck. One of the many options they have. They're starting to become really Stark is really becoming one of the most well-rounded houses in the game. They have saves now. Mm-hmm. They've got awesome kill events. They've got awesome efficiency. They've got a great icon spread, which you never thought we'd be saying that about Stark. You know, it's a really well-rounded house right now.
I don't know. I'm just not feeling Stark this year. I don't think it's going to be the year of the wolf.
All right, so then what do you think, you know, if you just really had to name a house right here, right now, who are you thinking runs off with Worlds this year? Or, sorry, Gen Con this year?
I am terribly tied between Greyjoy and Targaryen. It's going to be one of those two houses.
Yeah, I have to say, well, I'm going to say it's probably going to be Greyjoy or Martell. Greyjoy is just looking so good right now. And Martell's always good. Even no matter how many restricted cards they get, they're always fun and they're always good. But it's probably going to be if it's Martell, it's got to be a Knights of the Hollow Hill build. And if it's Greyjoy, it could be anything.
Yeah.
They're just real good right now. What about you, Will?
Don't downplay Martell Clinton Jackson.
I'm downplaying them. I'm down for right now.
You know,
you say so.
I'm having a hard time deciding myself. I kind of gut want to say Targaryen, but instead, you know, I've got this feeling that I want to do something a little different, and that maybe some Martell semi-dark horse is going to come out and take that one.
I don't know. There's some good choices now. I mean, at least, this decision is made a little easier. It's just not like, it could be any house, but we know the agenda is going to be the Long Voyage. You know, because that's what it would have been had the FAQ not been where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I can honestly say I don't think that there's a Lannister build out there that's just going to get it done. I can say that every other house I feel is really strong. Lannister is always got really good cards and stuff, but it just seems like all the other houses right now just have so much going for them. So,
I don't know. I mean, Lannister and Stark are probably the bottom two houses, probably even behind Baratheon. And who would have thought we'd be saying that a year ago?
Yeah. Well, I would say that Stark is not the sexiest of houses, but there's still plenty good. I don't know.
Fine.
I might put him above Baratheon. I know Baratheon has some awesome cards now, and Mel's schemes were dunk. But again, without the Long Voyage, that really boosts them up. And sure, Greg Atkinson managed to build a Black Sails deck that was really baller, and the Laughing Storm Val combo is ridiculous. But I still think I like Stark more. They just have so much insta kill. It's so good. And Mira Reed.
Mira Reed is so incredible. I won't disagree with that.
I believe our next topic then maybe ought to be the Gen Con survival guide that was mentioned earlier.
I think it's probably version 2.4. I'm pretty sure we did one last year also.
Yeah, I think so. Though I did see some feedback from listeners that they're okay with us just rehashing that same stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I didn't remember what we said last year.
Well, so. Yeah. I'm sure that this is the number one thing we mentioned last year, because it is, in my opinion, the absolute number one thing for Gen Con survival. And that is, book your fucking hotel room before March. Whenever at all possible, however soon you can, book that hotel room.
Well, it's like you one awesome friend who did all the work for you, and then he decided not to go this year, and he just screwed you.
Piece of shit. God, don't even get me started. I will pay your way right now if you decide to go next week.
I don't have the time.
Also, Daryl doesn't have the money.
Also that.
I do. I sold my War Machine stuff.
Ooh. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I got the monies.
Well, there you go.
I mean, Daryl, that is a good advice. Booking your room in advance.
It is great advice.
I support that, because I always book my room the day the room goes on sale, and I always get a pretty good room.
Yeah, it's worth it. I realize that staying downtown is not always the cheapest option. Get a bunch of friends, make it happen, find somebody who has a credit card, put it on that bitch. Completely worth it. You know, staying downtown absolutely rules. If you can't stay downtown, that's fine. You can still try to book a hotel room that's closer. But get that room taken care of. I think that's the most essential thing other than buying your badge, which you can still do on site the day of. So.
Yeah, you know, I've got to side with Daryl there. Staying downtown is expensive, but it does make such a huge difference. I'm a little bummed that we aren't making it.
I'm a lot of bummed
down there this year.
Bummed.
Okay,
I wouldn't go to Gen Con and staying downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to say, if you're going to try to get one downtown, take a day off of work. Designate one person, if need be, to take a day off of work the day that the Gen Con housing goes on sale so that they can sign up immediately. Because if they don't do it that day, there won't be any.
Yeah. So
that's how we didn't luck out with that this year.
Yeah. we were indecisive. Put, even if you're fully not decisive, get it, get that going, man. I'm incredibly bummed about not staying downtown. It's just, you want to be able to get drunk and just walk to your hotel room.
Exactly. And really, I think that's the next most important thing to remember about Gen Con. Yes, you're there to game and see friends. It's fun and all. But really, the focus should be on alcohol, provided you are of age. Provided you are not of age, I know nothing.
Nope. Don't know why you're going. Just kidding. Yeah, well, I was going to say this actually near the end, but since you brought it up, stay hydrated. This is actually pretty serious. Stay hydrated not only because you're drinking booze or while you're drinking booze, but stay hydrated through the course of the convention. You know, some people, they'll get wrapped up in tournaments and maybe they'll even be drinking like some sodas or something or whatever, but seriously, drink some water throughout your day.
Otherwise, you may wake up in the morning with terrible cramps.
Oh,
God. Yeah, I was going to say that. Otherwise, you might go to an after party and then be out of commission for an entire day.
And tell Greg to F himself.
Yeah.
Tell Greg, which was awesome. It was worth it. I wish that Snapchat and stuff was around then so I could have Snapchatted that to everyone. That was great. Worth it. But really, Mike Curry, one of our buddies, was there a couple – this was 2 years ago. But we were walking through the card hall or the dealer hall, whatever, and he like started like getting dizzy, and we had to like sit down, and it just comes from, you know, not drinking water, not thinking about that. You could ruin your fucking day by getting dehydrated. So drink some fucking water.
And look at Daryl looking out for everyone.
That's right. I mean, I would know this.
My final tip for Gen Con is maybe try anything. If you have free time to do something and someone offers to, you know, demo a new game or anything, you do it. Just do it.
Yeah, in fact, don't be a capper. Go out of your way to look for that stuff to go do. I mean, don't schedule yourself too crazily, but wander around. Of course, the big spot where you'll find most of that stuff is the dealer hall. Which is one of the main attractions anyway. So just, you know, wander around. There's a million things to stumble onto in there.
Yep. I mean, had Mike not been someone on the dealer hall, what, 3 years ago to found the Greater Than Games booth when they were demoing Sentinels of the Multiverse, none of us would have ever heard of that game.
Yep.
And that'd be a damn shame.
And not to mention, sure, a fair amount of you are, if not all of you, are going to play, are going so that you can go play in the Game of Thrones championship. North American Championship, but don't let that be the only thing you're doing. You're paying a lot of money. You're going to a convention. Go and have some fucking fun. Demo everything. Like, even if you didn't think that you would like it, give it a shot. Mm-hmm. You never know. You know, walk around the dealer hall, walk around the card hall. You never know who you're going to run into. You could run into some game designers, some developers, some dudes like that, and have some really fun, interesting conversations, take some pictures. You know, have more memories than just, oh, I went to Gen Con. At least in my case, oh, I went to Gen Con and got my ass kicked. Now, in some of your cases, it'll be, oh, I went to Gen Con and kicked the shit out of everyone. But if you're me, that's not always the case. And you may look back and be like, man, I sure wish I did more.
Yeah, exactly. And that is a tough thing because there's also only so many hours in the day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to sleep at some point while you're there.
Daryl proved Will wrong.
I mean, I can do a day where I stay up for 24 hours, barring there's...
I'm not talking a day.
To do.
The entire time. Don't sleep.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that delirium sets up for 72 hours. And I would die.
Daryl, just do it.
Okay, I'll do it. The Daryl Lloyd Challenge.
Daryl Lloyd Challenge.
Not sleeping while mentioned. I'm not doing that. That sounds like the dumbest thing ever. I'll think about it.
I know you will.
Don't think. Do. As Yoda says, Daryl, I don't remember.
I have no idea.
Do or do not, there is no try. I was really hoping somebody would fill in something way more amusing than I could come up with right there.
I don't know. do any of us have other survival tips?
other survival tips. I'm going to go with budgets. Don't hold yourself to it strenuously, but at least be aware before going. Gen Con is expensive. Not just the hotel room.
It can be expensive.
Well,
that's true. I've balled
it. You can
do it cheap. It's not fun.
Stay further away at a cheaper hotel. You can pack your own, sandwich lunches and go eat fast food for dinner and whatever. But most people don't. And most folks, particularly in the Thrones community, want to go out and have a dinner with a bunch of the guys that they don't get to see more than a couple times a year. They want to go out to drinks for a few hours and whatnot. And that stuff adds up. Places to eat within a reasonable walking distance downtown are not cheap. Now, they aren't all, crazy expensive, but, just be aware most of them are sit-down places with sit-down prices.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're at the food court of the mall or Steak and Shake, that's pretty much all fairly, upper casual to fancy dining.
Yeah.
Fancy parties.
Another thing that I would say is meet up with people. A lot of you guys are on the forums and things like that. Especially if you're going by yourself, meet up with some fools. Don't just go wander around by yourself and then go do the Game of Thrones tournaments and then wander around by yourself some more and stuff like that. Go and find some of these other guys, because I'm sure that if they're homies of yours on the forums, or even if you didn't know that you guys would be homies, hang out, because the Game of Thrones community fucking rules, and we love to shoot the shit, get wasted, and play some CCG Game of Thrones, which we've done before. Mm-hmm. Have a good time. Do that shit. Meet people, talk people, try to find people who you mesh with on the boards and stuff like that, just to kind of pick their brain in real life and have fun. So don't be a loner. There's another survival tip.
Yeah, exactly. There's too many cool people to meet.
Not Will and Derek.
No, definitely not. I'm mainly thinking about like Rings and Bruno. Yeah.
Mainly just Rings then, since Bruno won't be there this year.
Oh, Bruno's not going to be there this year? I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, there's still going to be a lot of other cool people, and there will be some people like Josh and Kyle there.
Is Benton going to be there?
I don't know. Yeah, Benton will be
there. Okay, well, that rules.
I'm trying to remember.
Gotta have Silver Fox.
Ms. Meta is coming as well, so.
Yeah. Is Luke Reed going to be there?
He was saying that he might try to come up on Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably just I'm trying to sweep through the joust and leave again.
Yeah, but yeah. He wasn't even for sure about that. Any other Gen Con survival tips?
I feel like I had something a moment ago, but I haven't quite been able to figure what that was.
Budgeting. This is the other side of budgeting. Don't not buy things that you think you would want and then not buy them. Make a small budget for buying shit that you think that you would want. Like, for instance, Will and I, last year, neither one of us had a budget set so that we could go to H&M.
Exactly.
Because we went into H&M and we looked around and we really wanted to buy shit, but we didn't have money to do that. This year, Daddy's coming home with a new pair of shoes.
Does H&M sell shoes?
Yeah, they did.
I'm going to be looking for shirts, for sure.
Those blue shoes I have, I bought in H&M in Vegas a few years ago. A lot of years ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but I will absolutely be purchasing things from H&M because we don't have one of those here in Springfield, Missouri. And just any of that fun shit.
I'll agree with that as long as it's things that you can't get at home. Like, I know one of my very first years of going to Gen Con, I bought a ton of board games and shit that I just kind of bought at Meta with a better discount.
Yes.
Like none of it was new stuff. It was just a cool looking box. So I bought it.
Yeah. That's a great point. And I mean, I could see where it's like, where there's going to be a release of something that, and it won't be out for like 6 or 7 months. Maybe.
Okay, yeah, in that case, you buy it.
It doesn't even necessarily have to be that long. I'd say even if it was just like a 2 month delay,
yeah,
I'd probably jump on it. You know, I can, for instance, I can totally understand the appeal that Netrunner had for all those folks that rushed out and bought up all the copies at Gen Con last year.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an expensive trip. Bring money to spend on awesome shit. This is your vacation. Like, for me, at least, this is like one of two vacations, and I don't really count Worlds as necessarily a vacation, but this is like my one vacation a year. And, I'm looking to go large, especially since I get paid vacation and have a better paying job this year. What's up, bitches? Is there anything? I feel like we're forgetting something.
Oh, we are definitely bound to be forgetting some stuff. Awesome. It's just there's so much to cover that it's kind of hard to say.
Packing? This is pretty serious. You could be a fool like Brett and Will and a few other guys and have, like, multiple bags. I think, actually, Brett might only have one bag.
I've only ever brought this.
But there are
bag.
Some fools with...
Oh, yeah. I just bring one.
But you guys also have to carry your cards. I have one giant suitcase, and I put everything in there.
Yeah, sorry. I bring
and it takes
bags.
Up
one clothing
two-thirds
bag.
Two-thirds of the trunk.
And one backpack to carry games to the con.
Hey. I gotta be prepared. Mm-hmm. It has rolling wheels.
It doesn't matter when it's taking up almost the entirety of the back of Greg's van.
Dude, don't be jealous. You're not jealous.
I'm not. Mostly mad that you reminded me of that.
Shut up. Deal with it. we're forgetting something.
Well, almost definitely.
Yeah, I feel like there's a big one, though. I feel like there's a big one. I don't know. Don't
have
forget to buy
time.
Tickets. Yeah, have a great time. Don't forget to buy tickets for your events. There we go. Buying generics. Some
That's
places.
A good idea.
Some places only take generics. Isn't that correct?
I've never been to a place that only.
Yeah, same.
I've been to some that didn't take generics.
I thought there was a place that. I thought there were some places that only took generics. Maybe not.
You know, it's possible. There's like the Rolling Game Show and stuff like that. Does that take tickets at all? If that takes tickets, it probably needs generics.
I don't think it takes tickets.
I felt like there was one that could only take... Like, I thought there was some places that could only take generics because of, like, some deal that they have with the actual, like, expo place. You know what I mean? Like, they can't be taken, like... They have to, like, make them aware of how much money they actually made. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But regardless... Buying generics is never a bad idea, at least a few. And plus, not to mention, you can make some spur-of-the-moment decisions to enter into a tournament later. That's right. You can't not enter the tournament without generics, right?
Wait, what?
Like
there were so many negatives in that sentence. I'm not sure what you just said.
Yeah.
I love negatives. I forgot what I was saying.
must not have been that great of a point.
Something about entering into a tournament's last minute.
Yeah, not always a great idea. Do go ahead and register beforehand.
Yeah, just do that.
We are real late for that message now, but it is really useful for companies like FFG if you pre-register so they know how much space they need and things like that.
Especially because come day of the tournament, there almost definitely will be caps on what they can run on how many players they can have.
Right.
For some games like Thrones, they probably won't reach it because it's probably like 120 or something. And Thrones will never get that big at Gen Con. But for other games like Netrunner, well, they've already had to increase the limit like 5 times. That's going to be like 200 people.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you're registered in advance and not just counting on your generics.
Exactly.
Yeah. Negatives.
So that said, take a deck that you're familiar with and have fun. Don't build something at the last minute. Though, unfortunately, I've heard that several of the world champs built their decks pretty much the day before.
I mean, I never built any of my decks the day before, the week before, and then never played.
Okay, so close enough.
Very close.
How they're pulling that off, I'm not sure, but I think for the average player, it's probably a good idea to play something you're familiar with. And just, you know, that way you're less likely to get just overly tense or worked up on anything. Just try to stay relaxed. It's going to be a long day if you're playing in a tournament, like, say, the Game of Thrones Joust. And, I don't know, it takes a lot of brain power to focus for that long. So why add to any extra hassle?
Mm-hmm. It is good advice that Daryl never follows.
No, absolutely not.
All right, moving on to a brand new segment that I think is going to be pretty popular.
Props and slops.
Whoa, just kidding. That's not new.
The new segment is one that we're going to affectionately call Ask Daryl, where every couple of weeks our listener, anyone that submits a question for Daryl to answer, we'll ask him on the air, and Daryl will answer unashamedly.
Sure. You get nothing but
and entirely.
Yeah. Sure.
So for this year, we did let Daryl pick his question, but in the future, I think I'm going to make sure that Will and I always pick it. And if you do want to submit a question for Daryl, message us on the Facebook page, send us an email, post on the Facebook page. We'll try our best to compile them all, and then, like I said, have Daryl answer at least one every couple weeks.
Sure.
Yeah, I can do that. I think that's a great idea.
Get creative with it.
Oh, yeah, get creative with it.
Get creative with it, or at least make it something where I can talk about for a while.
Yeah.
Don't ask me what type of socks I wear or something.
No, Daryl, you can talk for hours about your socks.
Yeah, I've
seen
bad.
How you color code that shit.
Yeah, that's a bad example, but, you know. All right. For this one, I had to choose two just to start us off. We might as well. So, the first question... Oh, there's a question about... That one's not on there. I love Counting Coppers. That's all I'll say. That's a different one. I snuck a third one in there. You guys know how much I love Counting Coppers. Don't get me started. Broken card. There was one. Okay. Let's start with the first one by Tim Shrim, or is it Scrim? Shrim? I don't know how to say your last name.
I've always pronounced it Shrim in my head.
Okay. And he has a few questions here, but part of the rule only can answer one, at least for now, and it's just, what are your expectations when going into a tournament? That's a great question. My expectations are not to O2 drop. Like, you know.
Okay. That seems easy. So you can really just low. Not drop.
No, that's impossible. I go O2, I drop. Okay.
I mean, if you're X2, you... should probably drop.
I should go enjoy, especially at Gen Con.
Hey, you could go 4-2 and in a cut to top 16, you could get some good tiebreakers.
See, I wish I could say that is possible and that there would be hope, but I had my best year the first Gen Con I went to, and I went 4-2 and had an awesome strength of schedule and did not make the top cut. So since then, 0-2 and I'm dropping because I don't think it gets much better than that, and I got hosed. Anytime I've ever had a bigger head about going into a tournament, I've just gotten the shit kicked out of me. Say 2 years ago, after I went, had that first awesome Gen Con, I thought that I was going to do really good. I thought I had a really awesome deck, and I went 0-2. And of course I dropped. And, you know, I just try to keep a really level head, and I expect to see the best decks that are being played out there. I don't make my deck to go against any kind of rogue builds or anything like that. I believe it or not, I do a little bit of research. I play with some of the best players in the world, and I hit them up for information as regularly as I can. So my expectations in a tournament are, you know, prepare to see everything. And for God's sakes, Daryl, don't misplay, because the majority of my losses are because of misplays.
You know what that probably boils down to, Daryl?
Reading your fucking cards.
Yes, RTFC.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you'll get caught up. I will get caught up in a thought, and I will play, and I'll think two steps ahead. I won't, like, you know, you'll forget to trigger something before you can do something, and things like that. Or I'll do something, but then it was like a standard action as opposed to a response that I wanted to play, and you know, I'll just fuck myself.
I mean, Daryl, I hate to bring myself down to your level, but that does happen to everyone. I still say that at our regional, I would have won it all had I played Mighty Maid Lord first in my round, the very first action of the game against Greg.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that does happen to everyone. So my expectations would certainly be, you're going to play against people that are going to play flawlessly. You know, I don't count on anyone making mistakes. So I try to limit the number that I can. So expectations are that I'm probably going to mess up and that I need to, overcome those. One more question, since it's pretty related, is what is my most memorable / worst play mistake that I've ever done
in an
editing setting? The list is huge, ridiculous. I mean, I'm trying to think of the very worst. The worst one. the worst one in a competitive setting. Oh, geez.
Is it the one I think it is?
It. I don't know. There's a lot of them.
Well, you have to pick one, Daryl.
Golly. Jeez. I'm trying
to think. Which one keeps you up at night? Which one still sickens you to this day?
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of them. There really are. The problem is, it's not that I can't think of any. The problem is that I'm thinking of too many. It's like a tie of like 20.
It's hard.
I've made some just atrocious play mistakes. Just god awful. And it's not even, you know, from playing a card. Sometimes it's forgetting to play a card that I have in my hand or something. It's ridiculous. Okay. One of them, you all three were there. Wasn't that in a regional? When I played Greywind on a character, and then I played Rob Stark from my hand.
Yep. That was at the Springfield Regional 2 years ago, I think.
So, that's definitely one of the worst. I also, in the last regional we had, on our game went like 14 plots or something, and on like every single... He was also playing Fear of Winter. On like every single Fear of Winter turn, I played a location as my card.
On both your and his Fear of Winter turns.
Yeah, so I did it probably like 3 or 4 times. Like, it was awful. So I've definitely done that. Jeez. I've forgotten to like count Renown multiple times.
I mean, I don't know. That can happen.
Probably the worst.
I thought you were going to say from Gen Con last year when someone devoured on a Power of Blood turn and you killed your Myrcella Lannister with a Noble Crest.
Really? Man, I would have gone for the Beric not defending.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's probably my biggest. My biggest one is definitely the Beric not defending. And if you don't know this story, basically, first round, I'm at a 3-player table, and I was playing Maesters, Brotherhood, without the Brotherhood agenda, and I would, you know, played Beric Dondarrion. Beric Dondarrion was at 23 strength. I played the Prince That Was Promised as my plot, and I just had everyone shut down. He's a Tricon, he's gigantic, can't be killed. He had stealth, he had devious intentions on him. Yeah, he had everything. Like, just impenetrable wall. And a Baratheon player from our own meta. It was Kat, I know. She swings out at me with, like, everything, and I try to do the math in my head, and, like, she's my friend. I was okay with her getting second, whatever. God. And I said, unopposed, and she goes, really? And I go, yeah. And she claimed, like, 7 renown power and won the game, so.
Yeah.
I was so mad. I was so upset, and the first thing I said is, man, Greg's going to fucking kill me. Like, I've done, yeah, that's definitely the worst in a competitive setting. the hits just keep on coming. There'll be more.
Oh, absolutely, there'll be more.
But that
I mean,
one
was... you really ought to play in one of the tournaments at Gen Con so you can throw out some more good stories.
Yeah. It's just like that was probably the one play mistake I've made that actually made me very furious. Like, I can laugh about it now, but it took a long time for me to really like laugh about it and like think it was okay. Yeah, I mean, we've made jokes about it before, but like it still burnt me up a lot. And that's how I know it's the worst one, because the other ones I can laugh about them as soon as they happen. It's like, yeah, I lost, whatever. I play Game of Thrones competitively, but winning isn't everything to me. Certainly I don't like losing, but whatever. But that particular play upset me. The amount of rage I felt, it was ridiculous. And I was not mad at the other players at all. I was just mad at myself. You know, the things you start to think about whenever you make plays like that, whenever you have a reputation of not being a good player to begin with, and then you go and you do something like that, can really hurt your psyche, and just to the point where it's just like, this is ridiculous. I don't know why I play this game. I don't know why I waste my money. I don't know why I come out here and I make this trip and I put so much time into this and I go and I fuck up like this. You know, it's ridiculous, and I'm going to be the laughingstock of Game of Thrones for the rest of my life. You know, it's ridiculous. It really upset me. But then you go out and you have fun at Gen Con and you talk with everyone and whatever, and a year goes by or whatever, and you remember that it's super fun and that it's okay because nobody makes money off this game anyways, and I just have a good old time. But that's definitely the worst play mistake.
I'm glad you remembered that one, Will. Because that's it.
Yeah. Thanks. Welcome. Thanks for that, Will. I almost forgot about it.
Sorry, I couldn't let you live it down, I guess.
Oh, it was too good. Somebody made a meme.
Someone made a bunch of memes.
Yeah, I did see that for a while.
One does not simply defend with the not kneeling 23 strength Beric Dondarrion.
Yeah, we need to find that so we can just add it to the gallery of photos on Facebook.
Yeah. Whoever made that meme, you need to post that on the Facebook.
I'm pretty sure it's still on the Facebook page somewhere from like last year.
Yeah.
I might make it my profile picture for our game DB.
That's a really great idea.
So, there you have it. And we got a little serious there for a little bit, but
you did.
I want everyone to know you can give me as much crap about that as you want. It was hilarious. I'm okay now. I'm past that. I managed to top 16 at Melee last Gen Con, so I think I redeemed myself a little bit. So there we go.
Props and slops.
Will.
So, okay. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to reprop what I was propping last week, which is Ripper Street, because I finished up watching the first season, which is on Netflix. And it was really good. It was good all the way through. Though it does get a little depressing in the next to last episode. I don't want to exactly spoil what it is, but things definitely take a turn for the worst there at the end. So,
Right before my prop, I just want to say the person who asked what my worst play mistake was or my play in competitive play was Joel Lynn. So, my bad for not mentioning you. Hopefully, you didn't stop listening to the podcast before props and slow, which I'm sure a lot of people do. Anyways, Joel Lynn, thanks for that. That was really great. I'm going to prop a book I've been reading. You guys have heard me talk about it multiple times. I probably propped it last week. I can't remember. But the Mistborn series.
You talked about it earlier tonight.
Yeah, well, yep. I know. I wasn't sure if I talked about it or propped it last week. But it's really, really good. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. Brandon Sanderson is actually going to be at Gen Con. And he's doing some shit. He's a great writer.
He's at Gen Con most years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just letting people know he's there this year.
Yeah, he rules.
So, yep.
Yeah, Mistborn's really good. The first book is awesome. The next two books are only all right. But then the spinoff's novel, Alloy of Law, is incredible. I absolutely love that book. So
really?
Yeah.
I'll have to check those out after I finish this one. But if you haven't read it, it's about people who can gain powers by drinking metal. And It's got, I don't know, it almost feels like a, like an epic fantasy thing mixed in with like some Ocean's 11.
Yeah, it's definitely a heist.
Yeah, I listened to his podcast, Writing Excuses, and he's mentioned that several times on the show for various discussion topics that it is a heist novel. And it's very much modeled on that kind of formula.
Yeah, and that's super fun just whenever he introduces the other characters and talks about their abilities and you kind of or like what they're good at, I should say. And you get like a visual of them and you kind of give them this voice. I don't know. That's fun. That's like all reading, but for me, I loved Ocean's 11. Yeah, it's a whole new world to me too.
A whole new world.
That's enough of that.
Yep.
I have a prop to a TV show, Breaking Bad season 5, the first half of season 5, I guess. I just went up on Netflix live, and I'm probably going to finish the first half of the season after this episode tonight. So I've engulfed it in the last couple of days, and it is really, really good. That show is incredible. I'm sure most people watch it, but if you don't watch it, I recommend it very, very much. Man, the show rules.
Cool. I need to watch that at some point.
You really do.
There's just too many different things
bored
to get on.
It's super boring too.
No, it's not.
Don't forget how boring it is.
It's incredible. It's definitely in my top 10 favorite shows. Maybe top 5.
It's okay.
It rules. Daryl is just dense.
Way to be.
I am. I've tried.
Yeah. What else? I'm going to throw a pre-prop out there to next week at Gen Con. I've kind of planned a little side event that I think will pay off pretty nicely. We're going to get together a bunch of the folks that do various podcasts on LCG games. So we're going to have us that will be at Gen Con anyway. Plus Team Covenant guys and Breaking News and maybe another Netrunner show or two. Gonna have Cthulhu podcast.
Elder Things,
there we go. We're gonna have the Elder Things guys, Cardboard of the Rings guys and whatnot together so we can kinda swap some ideas on content and boosting listenership and, you know, tips and tricks on shows and just generally hang out and have a good time, BS, and I mean, I'm sure drink and eat and that sort of thing as well, but I'm looking forward to it, and mainly I just desperately want to find out what the Cardboard of the Rings guys are doing to push their show, because I just saw them post on Facebook, I think it was today or the day before, that they just broke 1,000 likes on Facebook. So
I don't know how it's possible.
Yeah, I'd like to find out that trick for sure. I mean, though we have been moving up quickly over, say, the last month, which is pretty awesome, we're still nowhere near 1,000 yet.
No. I mean, like, 3 people play that game. How is it so popular?
Hey, I play it sometimes.
It's even nice that
I can play it with myself.
Yeah, I love playing with myself.
Who doesn't?
I have a core set and some CPACs.
Nice.
I'm going to throw down. I might bring that shit up to Indy.
Yeah, you should. I'm going to bring a couple decks.
I know Benton likes the game too.
Oh yeah, Benton super enjoys that game.
So, but you know, likes aren't everything. Okay, I'm okay with the fans that we have now. It's okay. But seriously, people, we need more likes.
Yeah.
Good crack.
Yeah, we love likes. I love likes. I'd trade any of you for at least 2 likes.
Oh, yeah. I would kick Will off the podcast in an instant if I thought he'd get us, you know, 3 or 4 likes.
You know, if we get up to 1,000 likes, I may see if I can talk Kristen into another photo shoot.
If we can get 1,000 likes, I will talk myself into a photo shoot.
You know, I think the listeners would really love that. In fact, Daryl, tell you what, we get up to 1,000 likes, I will personally photograph you so that we can do a Daryl 365 calendar for the listeners.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm pretty sure we can get that printed on.
I would do that.
Yes.
I would do that. I should probably start working out. No.
It'll
be better if I'm not.
Stay exactly like you are now.
Yes.
Maybe a little heavier.
Yeah, I could probably you know, I could probably down a few more tacos a week and get a little more on there.
Yeah.
They don't call them love handles for nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a slot before Daryl gets into his.
Go ahead.
It's to my life, I guess I want to say. I just got new tires on my car probably about 2 weeks ago. And when I was leaving work today, like, I hadn't even left the parking lot yet. I felt like my car was handling funny. So I pulled back over and got out, and one of my brand new tires was flat. So, yeah. My life sucks.
That sucks. I have a slop. My slop is to, and I know I've apologized for slopping you guys before, but come on. I'm slopping FFG for making an announcement that I, they previewed this announcement. And I thought it was like, dude, all kinds of shit like ran through my head.
I mean, Steve Horvath posted on his personal Facebook the night before. This was the announcement they made last Friday. And on Thursday night, he posted they were having this huge announcement. And so I was like stoked.
Yeah.
Like, I was waiting all day.
Had all kinds of ideas. We were emailing through work. I don't even have a desk job and I'm checking my email at work. you know, and we were super excited and all these ideas about maybe a new LCG that we can pick up or something like that. And then it turns out
we need another one to try.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But it turns out to just be another Call of Cthulhu game, board game to be precise.
Yeah, their fourth board game.
Lovecraftian, I should say, maybe not necessarily Call of Cthulhu.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The game, like, I read through the full spoiler thing they had there, and it sounds really cool. I'm sure I'll pick it up, but I mean, between the new game, Eldritch Horror, and
Elder Sign, Arkham Asylum, which is still Arkham Horrors. I'm sorry,
Arkham Horror. There's the Elder Sign iOS app. It's called Cthulhu card game.
Like, come on, guys.
There's just so much.
Like, agreed. Come on.
You can only take one IP so far.
Yeah, and like, yeah. I just don't know if that merits a giant, you know, like, hey, we're going to have this awesome announcement. Like, that's fine.
Daryl, there's no, I don't know if it justifies it. It was, that doesn't justify it.
Okay. you know, and the game might be awesome. I don't know. I'm willing to play it. I like the other games. They are fun. That is not in any way what I'm saying. I'm not dissing the game. I just don't know.
Let's just set an appropriate level of expectations. If all the previous posts from FFG and, you know, and people had said were, hey, we're announcing a new game tomorrow, then that sets the bar of some interest, but who knows what it could be. It could be anything. When you start being like, big announcement, big announcement in 2 hours, big announcement in an hour.
Check back in an hour.
Yeah, stuff like that. You're pushing expectations up to a really high level that just your average game release doesn't deserve.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just, I don't know, you're just asking for some bad blood with the customers there.
I guess that's good marketing, I guess. I mean.
No, because I didn't even read the release when I saw what it was. If it had just been, hey, new game, maybe I would have. But I definitely saw that the game wasn't anything that I was immediately interested in. It wasn't new and exciting and just impressive like they built it up to be.
Yeah.
So I closed the article and didn't read past the headline.
Yeah. I still have not checked the website. I've just heard about it from you guys.
Yeah.
So maybe that is bad. Maybe that is bad that I was so disappointed that I haven't actually really looked at how the game is played and stuff, you know. But, you know, That's just the slop there. Come on, guys, don't build us up for horse shit.
Yeah.
Anything else? Either of you? I have nothing else.
I know. I don't have anything else.
William?
Nope. That's it.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to another fine episode of Two Champs, One Chump. Unfortunately, you will not join us at the same place, same time next week as. Most of us will be at Gen Con.
Yes, we will definitely be taking a week off for the gaming mecca that is Gen Con.
Yeah.
So next week there will be no episode. However, still feel free to contact us in the usual channels, whether it be email at twochampsonechump@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter.
Make sure Google you do Plus. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, because we will be trying to post periodic updates from Gen Con.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to try to do a little more than we normally do. At least I'm going to try to put more of a focus. So
sounds good.
We're excited. I will be debuting. I don't know what day, but I will be debuting my exclusive Two Champs, One Chump shirt developed by yours truly at Gen Con, and it will be available on our Cafe Press soon. During Gen Con, I'm assuming.
I think we're going to try and get things locked down so that I can pretty much just turn that on, like, say, maybe Tuesday night or something before we get ready to leave for Gen Con on Wednesday.
Yeah, so it's going to be a blast. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, so again, no new episode on Friday the 16th. Tune back in Friday the 23rd for the post-Gen Con episode. That'll probably just be Will and Daryl talking, and I'll just kind of chill. Thank you, Sam!
Well, thus, we covered that with Cocaine Machine.
Yeah, well, thus the segue. We've got the blow. Now we got to talk about the hookers.
Mm-hmm. You know where you find hookers?
Not at Gen Con.
Indianapolis, definitely. I'm sure I've seen some in the convention center.
I'm pretty sure I was propositioned a couple years ago.
Yeah,
but that was actually by Luke. And,
is he not a prostitute? Is Luke not a prostitute?
Well, yeah, but I thought it was just, like, common knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, I met a prostitute while riding in a cab in Indy last year. She kept whispering in my ear, but her facial hair kept tickling me, so I was giggling, little girl, so I couldn't seal the deal. It may have been a dude.
It was definitely a dude.
It may have been Luke Reed. I don't know.